Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Not Safe for Work Photography podcast. Today, we're interviewing Vex Voltage. Vex is an award-winning alt porn actress, model, stripper, filthy animal, pole demon, and she collects dead stuff. How are you doing today, Vex?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing pretty good. It's almost the weekend. I know it probably isn't when we release this, but thanks to the beauty of time travel, it's almost the weekend.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm there with you. So this one is a little different than our typical interview. Most of the interviews for this podcast have been with photographers and models who typically do glamour or art nude. Many of the interviewees have done erotic and explicit work, but we haven't really discussed it. So the podcast does have the explicit tag. You really shouldn't be surprised about anything that is talked about. But I have a feeling this one might be a little more explicit than we've had in the past. So if that's not really your bag, baby, then maybe you should skip this one. So let's start with your pinned tweet, Vex. Looks like you won a fan favorite award at the Altport Awards this year.
I did. I had just gotten back from shooting in Vegas when the awards were virtual this year. And I knew I was nominated. And I knew just based on my fans retweeting stuff that they had been voting for me. I just didn't know how religiously they were voting for me. and I ended up winning the fan favorite goth shoot, which I was strapped to a BDSM wheel, and Amelia G and Forrest Black shot me for Gothic Sluts and gothicsluts.com and Alt Star magazine.
That's interesting. So it was a video scene and a print scene as well?
No, it was a series of photos. We did a bunch of different photo sets with a bunch of different outfits. But the one that everybody loved, I was strapped to the wheel, and then they would gradually, they would turn it. And then by the end of it, I was naked with a gag in my mouth. And it was one of the hook gags so that it forces you to smile.
All right. That's fair. What is alt porn? How is it different than standard porn?
Alt porn features individuals of a subculture. Usually they're going to have body modifications like tattoos, piercings, scarification, a variety of different stuff that you wouldn't see in quote unquote normal porn. And it's just body modifications of a wide range.
Interesting. So that doesn't have to do with the fetish side of it. It's more on the performer.
Right, right.
Interesting.
It, you know, alt porn can be, you know, basic fucking all the way to just the craziest shit you could think of.
I have no comment on that. Anyways, I was just talking with, I think, Fervid Faye a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about, I don't remember if it was her or not, but talking with somebody that I was interviewing, they're talking about how they wanted to be a suicide girl because they thought the suicide girls were just like the real alt. And then they were like, no, it's just really Playboy, but with tattoos.
So I always try to tell upcoming or newer models that you don't need suicide girls. I mean, I think that they play a favorites game. So I just never have shown any interest in wanting to put myself in that position and giving their site my hard work for them to decide whether they want to publish. So You can do all this on your own. It's all about networking.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. So suicide girls, when you submit your stuff to them, they don't have to publish it. They don't have to pay you. How does that licensing work? Do you just sign over all the licensing to them and they just do whatever with it?
I believe it's a contract thing.
Interesting. I'll have to find somebody that's modeled for them and dive into the details of that.
Before that they decide to publish you, you're considered a hopeful. And it just sounds so degrading. Which, like, what the fuck? Like suicide girl hopeful, like it makes other people I've talked to that have tried doing it made them feel kind of shitty, and I understand why, because it's that word, like, hopeful is what sounds fucking shitty. Like, it's like you're not good enough, and I'm like, fuck this shit. Doing this shit by myself.
So we'll actually kind of get into that in a bit, but we're going to work our way through the questions because I am a methodical human. So do you do, well, I guess that answers the question. You do photographic modeling and you do video work, both, yes, correct?
I do. I'm like a slutty Swiss Army knife.
I'm going to have to remember that one. That's good. Which do you prefer?
I don't know. I don't really have a preference because if I get sick of one, I can rely more on the other one so I can avoid burnout.
That's fair. For somebody that has never done, let's assume someone's listening to this that's never done video work, how does it differ from photographic modeling?
There's a bunch of different types of video work that you can do. Like you can do interpretive dance. You can, you know, I don't know what the market for that is, but I do know
someone.
That
there's always someone.
Well, yeah, like interpretive dance, like just art pieces, like horror. There's a lot of different things, like a lot of different little puddles you can dip your toe into and kind of see where that takes you because you end up finding out you like doing something you didn't know even existed or that you might even thought you liked to do.
All right. How about in terms of, so I've never shot video before, so I am completely unaware of what goes on behind on a video set. But in, when you're doing photography, usually, you know, there's lots of pausing, you know, hold the pose, shoot, move to a new pose, shoot, directions and back and forth. When you're shooting video, are there lots of takes of the same scene? Is it mostly kind of prep time? Do you run through it a couple times without the camera first? What's the general workflow?
It depends on what type of video I'm shooting. If I'm shooting a video for ManyVids or my OnlyFans, I kind of have in my head where I want the video to go. And this is obviously solo stuff because I film by myself. I, you know, record, edit, all that. And I'm worried mostly about the background, like what all is in the shot. So I'm worried about background, you know, what is this body part doing? What's this body part doing? How does this look? Camera angle is another big thing. I don't want to call myself a perfectionist, but people will know what I mean if I say that. Yeah. I feel like, you know?
No, it's interesting you call it the background. That's usually one of the easiest ways to pick out an amateur photographer, right? Is like weird random shit in the background.
Water bottle.
They're so focused.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're so focused on the pretty girl in the frame that they ignore all the weird shit and crap in the background. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll reshoot an entire video if there is a piece of something in my video.
Yeah. So when you shoot solo work, do you have a studio? Did you like convert a room in your house? Or apartment or whatever?
Yeah, I'm in a one bedroom apartment and the bedroom I have converted into a studio area. So I have a bar hanging from the ceiling that I can attach backdrops to. My bed is in my living room. That's kind of like my common like crash area. But in the back I have like a sectional couch. I have the chairs, I have some furniture, I have you know, the stack of backdrops, jewelry. I have like a table back there, safety pins, just like nails, hammers, like tools, just stuff that I can use to quickly shift stuff around to make it look like a totally different room if I have to. I fine-tuned all of this very heavily during the pandemic.
Yeah, I guess that's a good time for it. So what other income streams do you maintain?
Well, I'm a stripper. I've been stripping for about as long as I've been doing porn, since late 2018. So most of my regulars are businessmen. So I work during the day and sometimes I'll stay like into the night. But you know, it's not easy, and obviously, and it's not always, you know, a ton of money. Some days I'll make four figures and then other days I won't even break $100. Yeah. So it's kind of one of those coin tosses. So I kind of consider stripping a supplement, like a supplemental income. My main source of income are the OnlyFans, the ManyVids, like all, I consider all my internet sales to be part of my main source of income because my main career is porn.
Gotcha.
Photo shoots. I got booked for a lot of photo shoots out in Vegas when I went this past spring. And then, you know, people will want me for like, you know, their horror movies or like their projects or like advice or something. So projects is definitely another supplemental income.
That's cool, actually. And I'm curious, typically for projects like that, do you charge the same rate or how does that work?
It depends what it is. It really depends what it is. If it's like a topless scene that's going to be shot like in the middle of winter, it's I'm charging the person more. Sorry, yeah. Not sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Level of discomfort.
Yeah. If it's like just an outdoor shoot where, you know, I'm in clothes, it's not, you know, it's going to be significantly less than my nude rates.
Gotcha. Yeah. I know there's a lot of discussion amongst the modeling community about, you know, having one rate versus multiple rates. And while I'm sympathetic to the whole single rate, like, you know, you're worth a certain amount of money. Some things just can't afford that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody should. What works for one model doesn't always work for another model. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got to remember that everyone is different because everyone has a different target audience.
Right. All right. So how did you get into doing this kind of work?
I knew I was always good at taking photos of myself. But I was told I'd probably be good at modeling because I pay attention to what every single part of my body is doing in a photo. And I think that's just because I'm such like a perfectionist about it, just not to use that fucking word again. And then, I, you know, found out, was like, okay, maybe I can do this. And then I was like, all right, I enjoy this. Fuck 9 to 5. I'm never doing that shit again. So yeah, I've never regretted what I do a day in my career.
Hmm. That's awesome. Speaking as somebody who's currently regretting their 9 to 5.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, the problem is I need to work out a little and get in better shape before I can go be a stripper. How do you, as a model and an actress, vet who is hiring you?
Okay. So I at least get anywhere between 3 to 5 professional references. Mm-hmm. I also get portfolio links, or, you know, if it's a, you know, porn producer or male talent, I get like their, you know, all of their links. You know, I look them up on Pornhub. I look them up on Xhamster just to make sure that they're not, you know, some random schmuck in their basement. I thoroughly go through their social media, including who's following them and who they follow. And you know, if somebody can't provide me with any of those that I've asked for, and that they, you know, if they make a big stink about it, I have a list. I have what I call a red flag list. Mm-hmm. And I will share it with other models. Any model that asks for it, I'm totally open to give it to them. But I make a very detailed notation of why they're on the list. You know, I feel like this industry, you can't fuck around. It's not safe. So fucking around is, you know, it's not, there's too much risk. So mm-hmm. You really got to protect yourself.
Gotcha. So I've heard the concept of a blacklist like that from a couple models, which is really cool. But again, the problem is, how do you get into the hands of those new models before they're kind of preyed on by those people? Yeah.
God, I don't know. That's $1 million question.
Yeah. Cause you can't just put it out there.
Right. But if someone has crossed a line. I will reach out to people that they do follow and that that do follow them. And I'm like, hey, just a heads up, this is what's happening. And I provide screenshots if need be. I'm not afraid to spread screenshots of some, you know, someone that's proving to be a predator.
What specific red flags do you look for? What things should a new model, when they're approached by somebody online, should they keep an eye out for?
If they refuse to give you anything you've, any, you know, references, anything you've asked for, that's definitely a big red flag. Mm-hmm. If any other model has anything bad to say about this person or anything that gives you a weird vibe, don't do it. It's not worth it. Like, don't be afraid to say no. It's not going to make or break you.
Right. What's the current testing requirements for or expectations for amateur work or semi-amateur work? I know professional work, you're supposed to be tested, what, every scene or monthly?
Before every scene, up to 14 days. Gotcha. That's how long the industry-wide test is valid for. And the porn industry pretty much knows that. And I haven't worked with anybody that's tried to be combative about it. So I think it's something that so far that I have experienced. I mean, I've heard stories, you know, of people that have forged their talent test. But they, I mean, they get, you know, that gets made public very quickly on Twitter.
Right.
So that's a good thing about Twitter allowing porn is that, the community is so readily, it's so ready to make it known that, you know, this person's dangerous.
Right.
It does happen.
Mm-hmm. Do people that are making kind of, I don't want to say amateur because it's their work, but people that are, you know, doing like OnlyFans and mini vid videos, are they following kind of the same standards voluntarily, generally speaking, or is it more ad hoc?
The people that I have worked with that like are smaller creators, content creators, they've all been pretty good about it. I mean, I can't speak for the whole industry, but right.
What? I can't believe you can't talk for everybody.
Ugh. I mean, I don't want to like, I don't want anything I say to come back and bite me in the ass. So I'm just like,
that's fair.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah. How do you find this type of work? Are you looking at personal connections? Are there online classifieds? I know there's one website I saw the other day called adultwork.com or something. Are there other websites dedicated to this?
Yes, there's like Sexy Jobs, Adult Talent Finder. My experience with Sexy Jobs is that people just use it to try to use like escort work. At least in my inbox, it's people trying to get me to do escort work. So I canned my accounts. But networking at events like Exotica and AVN, AVN is out in Vegas, and Exotica has like New Jersey, Miami, Chicago. But the more people that you work with, the more exposure you get, which ultimately gets you in front of more people's faces. But like social media is a huge, huge thing. Like most of mine has come from Twitter. And I think that is because I can post a picture of my butthole if I want, and I'm not going to get it's not going to get removed. Huh. Whereas I can't obviously do that on Instagram.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg, you nipple hating bastard.
Yeah, I've heard Facebook's even worse.
Yeah.
I had some of my videos. I've been putting the audio up on YouTube, and I've had several removed because I linked to the model's Instagram and they're like, this violates our terms of service. It's Instagram.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Social media is such a joke.
Ugh. Yeah. So it sounds like for a new model that was trying to break into it, Twitter is probably the right, given your experience with the online sites.
Yeah. And get in retweet groups. Mm-hmm. There are like model groups where you just, you retweet everybody in there and then they'll retweet you. And ultimately it'll get your more and more followers. They'll start giving you more and more likes and retweets, and, you know, eventually you'll start building that fan base, and you'll start building that pretty much Twitter portfolio. I don't want to say Twitter portfolio, but like all my links are on there, and I'm constantly like posting my previews and my photo shoot pictures and just stupid shit I have to say. It's just like, I don't know, but it's all there. So like if a producer wants to know about me, you look at my Twitter and figure it all out. You also got to be really active.
Yeah, I suck at that. I'm terrible at being active on social media.
I had to make myself get better about it. I used to be really bad about it. And I only started seeing results when I started making myself do stuff.
Yeah, I think I was talking with Leticia Buffard-Rabe a while ago about that. And she talks about how she schedules like 2 or 3 hours a day just to like go through and, you know, retweet her followers and talk to them and respond to DMs and all that kind of stuff. Like it's your job. If you want people to pay you to show them your butthole, then you need to interact with them.
Yep.
There's lots of buttholes online.
Yeah.
You got to make them want yours. All right. So how does this process normally go? Let's say you're on Twitter and you start making some connections and somebody reaches out to you and say, hey, I have an opportunity in Vegas. We'll fly you out maybe. How does that usually go?
After I've like vetted everyone and everything is good to go. So usually if I will give somebody my rate and we will have agreed on it. If flight is included, fucking cool, man. If it's not, cool. I'll fucking foot the bill for it. I don't care. Like $250 to go to Vegas versus however much I'm going to be making. But then after that, I'll be like, okay, well, these are the days that I'm going to be there. I'm going to maximize my time and my money since I've paid for this plane trip. Now that I have a guaranteed shoot, I can, you know, make the plane trip money back and then, you know, add whatever else that I've scheduled to do. So I'll try to at least get a month booked ahead of time so I can promote on Twitter like crazy that I'm going to be in this place or this place, and, you know, retweet and, you know, just ask, other, of my, you know, other performer friends in the industry, like, hey, what, you know, what producers can I reach out to in this area? Because I'm going to be here, you know, do you have any friends in this area? But it's really all about like networking and maximizing your time in an area.
Does a shooting normally take place in LA and or Las Vegas? Are those kind of the big places that you have to travel to?
LA, not really for me, but Vegas, definitely. Vegas is a big, big, big place.
Really?
Within the porn industry. I haven't been to Florida yet. I'm supposed to go to, Key West and Miami, but I don't have a date yet. But yeah, most of it happens on the West Coast, but I have been to New York a couple times to shoot.
Interesting. Do they normally shoot and do they have studios there? Are they using hotel rooms or what? I haven't seen all the porn in the world, but I know that Vegas hotels are a real big studio. You can hear the air quotes for black.
The only time I've used a hotel room to shoot in Vegas was when I was doing content trades at AVN. Performers will get together in what's called a content trade. So you both get copies of the footage. So you could both sell it or do however you have agreed to on your terms, however you're going to distribute it. So I usually shoot in, you know, if I go somewhere like that, it's been in a studio there, you know, Glory Hole, SoCal. It was a real glory hole. There was a real life glory hole was used.
Huh. I always thought those ones were fake.
Not this one. Oh,
I don't know that I've seen the SoCal.
Woo. This one was very fucking real.
Interesting.
They were very, wow. Yeah. I knew the other performer on the other side,
right?
But there were still there's still people just coming and going, doing, having their own glory hole experience. I'm like, this is fucking wild. Because that was my first glory hole experience, was shooting for Glory Hole SoCal. That's, I'm like, whoa.
So you mentioned that you definitely work with professionals and you've got a lot of things that you look for in a professional.
Yes.
What happens when there's an amateur that wants to try and break into shooting erotica and shooting porn? What do they do if, you know, most of the talent only works with the pros?
I can't say it enough, but like, network, mm-hmm. network number one, shoot solo content. Even the guys shoot solo content. And, I mean, it gets you out there. It lets other people know that you're serious. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing, especially from a guy's side, but solo stuff is definitely, you know, just having a presence is definitely the first step. Create a presence, I guess I should say, like a mm-hmm. brand yourself and work on molding your presence as a business.
What kind of ducks are you expecting the videographer to have, you know, in a row when they're looking to hire you? I mean, I assume they're going to have to take care of the studio. They're going to have to take care of the location. What other things are you expecting them to bring to the table?
Good communication, number one, first and foremost. I need to know what's being expected of me before I step foot on an airplane. Mm-hmm. And that cannot change. And if it does change, you got to say something. You know, if you're in an unsafe position ever, don't be afraid to walk the fuck off of a set. There are some studios that shoot rougher content that you would be like, oh my God, what the fuck? Facial abuse is one of them. Mm-hmm. Not everyone can handle shooting that. I made it through, but they like to try to shoot newer models. So it's one of those things you need to look at. That's why it's important to look at a studio's previous work. So you don't go, you don't fly up there, decide that you can't do it. You know, if you can't, don't feel bad, but like, you know, just you need to know mm-hmm. what pool you're about to swim in.
Yeah. I think there was an article a couple months ago or some people were arrested because they advertised it as like a softcore photography shoot. And then when the actresses got there, they pressured them into a boy-girl shoot.
Was that facial abuse? Or was that?
I don't think so. No, oh. I don't think so. I think it was, I don't remember the specific.
This was another point that I wanted to make. The minute, if you are talking about doing a photo shoot, always get the outline of a photo shoot before you go. Bring an escort. If somebody has a problem with your escort coming, they have ulterior motives.
Yeah, that's always a big one. If somebody doesn't want an escort, that's because they don't want what they're going to do seen.
Exactly. I feel like I was going to add another point to that, but I don't remember.
I mean, it's a pretty good point. So no, the,
Oh yeah. I remember what I was going to say. The minute that, you know, if you're going to do a clothed photo shoot, the minute you're asked to take something off to where you have to get naked, even if it's like implied, that's crossed your personal boundary. And that's not what you agreed to do. And that's a dangerous situation. So it's always, vetting is very, very important.
Girls do porn. That's it.
Huh. Okay. I'm going to have to.
Yeah. They arrested about a year and a half ago. They arrested two people that were running it. I mean, I'm sure, hopefully some of the videos were legitimate, but apparently there were 22 models that accused them. Oh, I see. I'm going to edit parts of this out because I'm sure listening to me Google stuff online is just the best radio. But they would fly a woman to San Diego, take her to the hotel room, and pressure her to sign a contract quickly without reading it. They give them alcohol and pot. And then they would they would tell them the videos would be shipped on DVDs to customers overseas. And then they released them locally, and it wasn't supposed to be explicit to start with. They were told no one would find out their true identity. How?
There was a lot of, just from the start of the story, like the way things happen, there's so many red flags in there.
Yeah.
Like it's all red flags.
Yep. This seems like people that just, ignored
everything.
Yeah.
That's why I said, like, don't be afraid to say no. It's not going to make or break you.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is another thing too. I've definitely seen people use intoxicants on set,
mm-hmm.
or heard of it, I guess I should say. And that just seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah. I've been on set once with somebody that was under the influence of some stimulant and he couldn't keep his dick hard and he was just sweating buckets. And I was looking at the producer and I'm like, can we call this shit now? He's blaming me for not staying hard. And quite frankly, I don't appreciate it.
That's some typical boy shit.
Yeah. And I after we shot, he just dropped off face of the earth. So I don't know, but that was for a studio up in New York.
Interesting.
Who I've shot for multiple times. So it was weird.
Yeah. So who would you expect to see on set? You mentioned looking up at the producer. I assume that's not the same person as the videographer. How many people are there normally on one of these sets?
It depends. It depends what studio it is. Intimacy, the guy shoots, edits, networks, runs it, and he has a day job.
He's a busy dude.
I think he's in IT. And I think he's also so a volunteer paramedic.
In IT.
Yeah. He is he's also a volunteer paramedic.
Wow. Dude's busy.
Which is like good to like have it like on a double penetration shoot where like there's a giant dick in my butt. So good.
Like, that's not how you perform CPR. All right. I also saw that you have a tweet on not working with male talent that is not established. So I assume there's a story behind that.
Holy fucking shit. This is a fresh story. This is fresh story from this week. So I will go through my Twitter outbox, my message requests, just to look. And just to see if there's any like other talent or any other like producers that have reached out that, you know, for whatever reason. But this guy, he asked if I was ever looking for people to film with multiple times. And I finally, cause he was blowing my message request inbox up. I was just like, no. I only shoot with people that are previously established within the adult entertainment industry. They have to have a fresh talent test result, which is industry standard.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give me all of your links. You have to show me who you've worked with, blah, blah, blah. I went through my whole spiel. And then he came back with like, oh, well, I have a clean test, but all right. And I was like, thanks, blah, blah, blah. So whatever. Tuesday, the minute the doors at work open, he comes to the bar and asks me if I've changed my mind.
Wow.
That's invasive as fuck.
He followed you to work.
Huh. He didn't follow me to work, but he knew that I was going to be at the club and showed up because he followed me on Twitter and I post when I'm going to be there.
Right. Hmm.
I let bartenders, management, security, and, you know, everybody, other dancers. I'm like, look, this is the story. This is what happened. That's that guy.
Huh.
And I blocked him. Like I'm not playing that fucking game.
Well, note to self. How not to request the Vex to a scene.
how did he think that was gonna work out for him?
Obviously, like, you were gonna see how attractive he was.
On top of that, this man has never once purchased one of my videos. He's never, you know, when the pandemic hit, he didn't tip me anything online. He's never subscribed to anything. All he's wanted to do was talk to me in messages about how he can shoot with me.
You know,
which I told him multiple times, like, no.
So that actually you bring up an interesting point there. about people purchasing your videos and supporting you with OnlyFans and other things. Is that normal for people within the industry to, you know, buy each other's videos and pay for each other's OnlyFans, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
Like to check out the kind of work they're doing and what they're and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, support, curiosity, like maybe a bunch of reasons.
Interesting. So that's something I've definitely kind of struggled with when I've been doing the research for the podcasts is, you know, we arrange this usually a couple of days to a week or ahead of time. And, you know, I go through their open source stuff and I've always been kind of like, I don't know that I should. It feels weird to go through their OnlyFans. So that's interesting.
I've had producers and I think there's another podcast that subscribed to my thing. I think it was the Manolo Show. Yeah, a bunch of people, I guess, do it for scientific research.
That's the excuse, right?
I have I do put my previews on Pornhub, but the preview has a link at the bottom as to where you can find it. So whether the video is on OnlyFans or whether the video is on ManyVids, it like if you like the preview, there's a link on there. So, and then there, I think that there are a few like Collins cuties that I've shot for. I think that he is on Model Hub, but I'm not 100% sure now that the payment stuff has jumped through a bunch of hoops and is on fire and crashing. And I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about that. So you've got OnlyFans and ManyVids and what was the other? There was two others. Hold on. I have to go back to your link tree.
Well, I have AVN Stars and I added Just for Fans, but I'm getting them to be mirrors of my OnlyFans.
Gotcha. So what's the main difference? So your main two platforms then are OnlyFans and ManyVids. What's the difference?
Yes. So OnlyFans is like, it's a paywall site that offers pay-per-view posts. So you can send a private message to everybody with the same video saying, unlock this for $5. This is what it is. So they have the option to buy it there. Mm-hmm. It's similar to Patreon, except it's like porn.
Yeah.
But there are other people on there, like magicians, I guess, and comedians, I guess.
Probably not the majority of their people.
Got kicked off of Patreon. I don't know. ManyVids allows you to have a store and you can also sell items in addition to your videos. Like I've sold a bunch of socks and a bunch of panties and some bras on there. I think I'm about to start selling some stripper shoes on there that are all banged up. But now like there's also a live streaming feature. There's a live streaming feature on OnlyFans, but I haven't used it. So I can't really feel like I'm able to talk about it, but ManyVids, it's very user-friendly, from a creator point of view, at least. There also is a new feature that was like the VIP club, which is, I guess, revamped their crush club, which is like people would pay a monthly subscription and then they would see what you would post. But it used to be very limited. There was like, you can only post like, you know, you couldn't post huge, big files. Like I couldn't post a 5-minute video, which is why I stopped using it. I would only use it to do pictures, but then I'm like, this is stupid. I'm making myself do more work. So they each, I like them both because each has a strength where the other one has the weakness. And I started out on ManyVids selling my videos. And then OnlyFans, it has the site traffic and it's well known, even though I've had it since, I think August 2019 is when I started it. ManyVids, you know, it doesn't have as many users. It still has a lot of users and traffic. And I do, you know, I sell a lot of videos on there, but it's designed to be adult creator friendly.
Gotcha. And then Just for Fans and AVN Stars, are those recent OnlyFans replacements after the big controversy?
I've had AVN Stars at the same time I made my OnlyFans account because I was going to the AVN Expo and I wanted to have like a presence on the actual AVN website. And the original intention was for it to be a mirror, but I couldn't keep up with it because I was putting out a video every day, doing a photo set every day, networking, and then I would just be devastatingly tired by the end of the day. So it fell behind, but I still had some content on there. So now I'm just getting it. I'm getting it back to, you know, equal with OnlyFans in terms of like the archive I'm putting on it. Same with Just for Fans.
So for the videos that you make for yourself to sell on Minivids or do the paper message on OnlyFans, do you typically do, is that solo work or are you bringing another talent for it?
I actually, since OnlyFans is my main paywall platform, I try to have a variety of stuff because I have a variety of fans that subscribe. And I always like, I say, if you've subscribed to my OnlyFans, my inbox is open. So I'm like, I try to message all the new subscribers and I'm just, I mean, it, you know, some fall by the wayside, but my DMs are open and I don't make that a secret. It says in my bio of OnlyFans, the DMs are open. I'll bring other guys in. With guys, it's few and far between just because of where I live. There's not a lot of other talent that I know of.
It's Midwest, right?
Yeah. St. Louis. Yeah. Chicago is close. Chicago, Kansas City, Nashville. I just got back from Nashville like 2 weeks ago from shooting boy girl content that I am going to put on OnlyFans. But I'll do solo stuff. I'll do art projects. I'll be like, look at the makeup shit that I did today. I'll have behind the scenes stuff. I'll have stuff from work. But back to what I was saying, like I kind of get a general idea of what my fans' fetishes are. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I have a ton of foot fans on there. So, you know, if I know I had a spit, I have some spit fans on there. So I would try to like spit on my feet. So I would try to like make my video meet in the middle and I would have like a variety that way. And then I would do like fetish specific stuff. I would, you know, just a variety of stuff. Like I took a tripod to a local nature park here one day and I did like selfies where I walked like a quarter of a mile off the trail through like a bunch of shit I wasn't supposed to walk through, probably like into a creek, and I took pictures and it was like, holy shit, it was like crazy. But like, this is all shit that ends up on my fucking OnlyFans.
Right.
So it's a wide variety of shit. I try to keep a range.
Do most of your fans on OnlyFans message you, or a lot of them stay quiet and just peruse?
The people that have been on there since the very beginning, they talk to me on there constantly. And they'll also message me like on Instagram or Twitter. And since I know that they're my subscribers, I have them in a separate folder on Instagram to make sure that I don't miss it. So like, this is just, you know, extra little tiny attention to details that, you know, not that big of a deal.
Right. Which do you think sells better? OnlyFans or Minivids? Which one makes more money?
Probably. Oh God, I don't know. I would think OnlyFans, just because the people, I don't know. I would say OnlyFans just because I think that I'm on it more and I'm putting more on it. I think if I were to put all of my videos and all of my archives on Minivids, I think that Minivids would do better. But since I've put all of the energy into OnlyFans, and I still upload to Minivids. Like I'm still active on Minivids. It's just every day, like, you know, every day during the pandemic, I woke up, I did my makeup, I filmed for OnlyFans. And then some days I would take a break from OnlyFans and I would film a couple for Minivids. So it was like juggling, but, you know, while making sure both platforms are active, I still put all of the focus in OnlyFans.
Interesting. So it sounds like you would recommend new content creators start with OnlyFans, probably.
Yes, but in light of recent events, I think it's smart for you to have mirror platforms as well. And what that all that means is just you have, like, it's the same. Yeah. You take all of the shit that you have on OnlyFans and you put it on AVN Stars or Pocket Stars or Loyal Fans or whatever. But just make sure that the platform that you do pick is the one that will work best for you. Like, definitely do your research about payouts. Usually it's like an 80 or an 85% payout. Just do your research before you put all of your time into uploading videos to one site, because then you might determine that this other site would have been better. So,
right. All right. So this came up on Twitter. Somebody posted how everybody wants to talk to sex workers, but nobody ever wants to talk about mental health care and sex work. So that's kind of where some of these questions came off of.
Okay.
So what is your self-care routine after you finish a scene, especially one that's maybe a little on the BDSME or a rough side?
I have a good support system of friends. That definitely helps. I have a really bad travel anxiety. Just using Las Vegas for as an example, I had a really awesome but intense BDSM shoot with Temptress Mars. She does have an AVN Stars account. And she also does have a Twitter account, so be sure to follow her. We went out for sushi afterwards. So like, she was done, like, you know, beating my ass. And like, it was a great scene. Previews on Pornhub, if anyone wants to check it out, like, you know, sushi. So like, with that being said, like a good diet. So like a good diet, definitely hydrating. Hydration is like the first and foremost. Healthy boundaries in your personal life. And like self-care time. So like, you know, I moisturize my skin, I take a shower, I make sure my nails are painted just so I like feel good. So it's, you know, it's a lot, you know, being on, you know, scrolling through Reddit, talking to people, watching TV, playing video games on the laptop.
Reddit sucks up all my time.
Yeah.
I've been trying to be better about not playing as many video games, and I just spend the time surfing Reddit instead. So it's not like I'm being any more productive with the time.
I'm on World of Warcraft while I'm on Reddit. So it's like, it's like, wow, it's too much.
I finally quit World of Warcraft again.
Oh,
I just got boring.
It's boring as shit. I got a billion alts.
I can't stand making alts.
Fuck it. I'm proud of it. I have 389. No, do I have three? No. 389 mounts.
Wow.
I'm almost at 400. And I think that's the only reason I still play WoW, is because I'm so fucking close to 400.
I was a little worried you were going to say 389 alts. A little worried.
Jesus, no. it's too many. That's too many. I do have at least like two of everything though, but I've been playing since 2004.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't know when my wife and I started playing, but my son was born and we couldn't really go out anymore and do anything. So we started playing World of Warcraft on Friday nights instead.
Nice.
So, yeah. Anyways, this is not a World of Warcraft podcast. So... Have you ever run into any photographers or videographers that were bad for your mental health, and what did they do, and why are they terrible people?
One of my best friends here is one of my main photographers, but she's good for my mental health. But this story is like, it's not bad for my mental health, but it was just like, oh God, why? Why do you have to be like this? So this photographer that said he had just moved here from Los Angeles wanted to do like a sports shoot with me. So we agreed to meet at Starbucks, which I'll, you know, always meet in a public place. I feel like I shouldn't say that's a given, but I'm just going to say it. Always meet in a public place.
There are some things that we can repeat over and over here. Things like not having an escort, things like not wanting to meet in a public place. We can repeat those over and over again.
Yes. But he knew I did porn because I don't make what I do a secret. I don't need to make it a secret, but he kept trying to say like he wanted to get into porn. I'm like, I kept being like, can we talk about the photo shoot that I'm here to talk to you about and not porn, please? Mm-hmm. And he was just like, it's cold in here. Do you want to go to the car? And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, and he kept just trying to push like, you know, oh, will you look at my penis and see if I have what it takes? I'm like, this is over. I'm like, we're done. This is over. I am not shooting with you ever again. So, ever. So he then messages me under a different name, something. And I'm like, are you the one that tried to show me his dick at Starbucks? And he immediately blocked me. And then I noticed in one of my Facebook groups that I'm in, a local modeling group, he's been hitting other models up trying to do the same shit.
I mean, at least he told you who he was before you made it to the actual shoot.
That's true. It was very... He wasn't very good at being sneaky. But, I mean, good. Like, these people don't need to be sneaky. Like, these... Yeah. Oh, God. And if anyone, you know, new ever runs into anybody like that, like, no, just walk out, like, walk away. You don't need that. And then make it, you know, take it to social media.
Has the fact that you do porn been a consistent issue with photographers?
Do you get honestly, a lot of that? No? No, just because of the process that I do to vet people. So it's done wonders for weeding out predatory photographers.
That's good. All right. Well, we're just about out of time here. I have one last question for you and then we'll go ahead and close out. What is the favorite scene you've ever done?
I really like all of my scenes with Nadia White. I love her so fucking much. We did an awesome threesome that we just, our paths were crossing in Nashville and we shot like a threesome with her and her husband, Jason Michaels. So that was really fun. I also like the scene that I talked about earlier that I did with Temptress Mars. It was shot by Curtis Walker, of Photo Bang Bang in Las Vegas. And it like, just the way it was shot, the lighting, like his camera angles, just it like, wow, everything about it was just like amazing. And it was so fluid. You can tell that I had like extreme like chemistry, like mentally and like physically with Temptress Mars. So that's definitely my favorite scene that I've done to date.
Awesome. So Vex, where can everyone find you online?
OnlyFans.com/VexVoltage. I am VexVoltage on Twitter and Vex.Voltage on Instagram because some motherfucker took my fucking handle.
Hunt them down.
Yeah, I know. ManyVids, it's VexVoltage.ManyVids.com. Avian Stars, stars.avian.VexVoltage. Just4.fans/VexVoltage. Wow, I don't know how I remembered all that. If you go to my Twitter, my Instagram, my link trees are in my bio.
Yeah, we'll probably just stick the link to that and your Twitter in the show notes.
Yeah.
Do you have any ongoing projects you'd like to mention?
I am getting ready to do a big horror porn film. It's under very, very tight wraps, very, very secret. But it is about, it's being written right now. And I'm also going to be doing a lot of the gore makeup, which I'm very excited about. So my hands are going to be busy with that. But that is a project. I do a lot of watercolor art. That's also an ongoing project. I need to open a store, but I do custom watercolor paintings.
Interesting.
Yeah, so just hit me up. A slutty Swiss Army knife, I tell you what.
I assume you'll plug the movie when it comes out on Twitter.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna be riding that dick for a long time, yeah.
All right. And with that, we are done. Check us out at the NSFWPhotographyPodcast.com. On Twitter is at NSFW Photography, Instagram at the NSFW Photography Podcast, and subscribe at your favorite podcast app. Keep making art. Keep sharing art.